We have to have the history in good shape. We need a good accrual-based financials that tell us where we've been. Just like driving a car, it's important to have the tail lights on. You need to see where you've been, and it's important. But the next step that's even more important is turning on the headlights. How do we become more forward-looking, forward-facing? We want to turn those headlights on to see the road ahead so that we can see obstacles before they hit the road. And if we can help companies become more forward-facing, forward-looking, they're going to make better decisions.
The difference between surviving and scaling often comes down to one thing: whether the CEO has a true financial strategist at their side. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the CEO Coaching International podcast. I'm your host, Steve Sandusky. My guests today are Jerry Vance and Scott Crawford of Preferred CFO. Jerry is the founder and managing partner of Preferred CFO, and Scott is a partner and works in client prioritization and new business development. In today's show, we explore the state of the fractional CFO industry. We talk about what it is, how it's evolved, and how CEOs should think about their financial leadership as their company grows. We talk about a number of things, including the difference between a bookkeeper, a controller, and a true forward-looking CFO, and why confusing those roles can limit your growth. We talk about when a fractional CFO makes sense in a company's lifestyle and when it doesn't. We discuss why forecasting, cash projections, and five-year planning aren't just financial exercises, they're strategic leadership tools. We also talk about how CFOs help CEOs think through real-world uncertainty from things like tariffs and capital decisions to growth investments and exit planning. And we talk about how to know whether your current CFO is really a CFO or a true strategic partner who can answer the critical what-if questions. If you're a CEO who's ever wondered whether you're getting the financial leadership your business truly needs or whether you should have made that move 2 years ago, this is a conversation for you. With that, please enjoy my conversation with Jerry Vance and Scott Crawford. Well, Jerry, let me start with you. I'd love to get a brief history of the fractional CFO business. So is that a thing that's been around for a long time, and what is a fractional CFO?
Well, I've been doing it for about 23 years, but I know that there were others doing it before me. In fact, I had my original partner started doing the fractional CFO thing 6 years before me, and he had some challenges, health challenges with his family, and had to leave his full-time employment and found out that he could do fractional work, and it gave him flexibility. And then I joined him and been doing it for the last 23 years, and it's been a great experience over those years.
Where are we today? What is the state of it? Who's using a fractional CFO?
Well, things have changed a lot. When I started doing this 23 years ago, the competition was the full-time CFO. There were not other fractional CFO firms to speak of. And it was a new idea to use a fractional CFO. Nobody really thought that would work well. When you get an investment, bring an investor in, they would say, hey, you need to go hire a CFO and watch their money, make sure that things were in good order. And they didn't think of a fractional CFO. It was you go hire a full-time CFO and you spend the extra money for that person that you really don't need full-time. And so things have evolved over the years to the point now where almost everybody is aware of a fractional CFO. And in fact, most smaller companies are going with a fractional CFO because they realize they can get the same kind of expertise as you get with a full-time CFO. You just don't have to pay for a full-time CFO. Get them on a fractional basis.
And Scott, talk to me about the different levels on the finance side of an organization. So we have companies that might be $10 million in revenue, $50 million in revenue, $150 million in revenue, and they're going to have some level of bookkeeping and directors of finance and controller services, and then maybe a fractional CFO, and then maybe a full-time CFO. So walk me through the development phase of a growing organization and when a fractional CFO might be the right next step for your company.
From a practical application standpoint, we really believe that every company at every stage of their growth would benefit from having every one of those key finance and accounting team offices filled. So every company needs bookkeepers to do their transactions. They need an outside CPA, and outside is almost always the case, to help them develop a tax strategy and file their taxes. They need a controller who's their historian to make sure that their records are truly reflective of what occurred in the business. And they need a CFO who's their futurist to help them make their future-based decisions. Those are all, when you add them all together, those can be expensive, all combined, an expensive tab for all those positions. But each one serves a role. So it has become more common to have companies that are, especially when they're well-funded, that will come to us in the beginning and say, I want the right-sized bookkeeping team, and I want the right-sized by-hours controller and the right-sized CFO. And we can provide that. We start at the CFO level. That's where we focus because we produce the biggest outcome there, but we can layer down within our own team to fill each one of those seats. And then as they grow, they reach a point in time when we encourage them to take that. We start lower level functions and build upwards, but ultimately, when bookkeeping becomes a 40 or 50 hour a week position, that's when we encourage them to take it in-house because it's really about return on investment. But if they're not well funded enough to be able to fill all those seats, even fractionally from the beginning, that CFO is generally the last one they choose to fill because they don't understand the benefits. They know they got to pay the bills. They know they've got to collect their receivables. They fill the bookkeeping department. Somebody's got to close the books, so they fill the controller seat. In our experience, and it can vary a little bit by profitability, but by the time a company reaches about $5 million in revenue, they should be able to see benefits, tangible benefits from improvement in profitability, improvement in decision making, risk avoidance. At $5 million in the annual revenue, those resources should warrant an ROI with a part-time or a fractional CFO. And then the hours just need to increase as the company activity and complexity and transaction increase to the point in time when a full-time CFO produces that optimal return on investment. And that can vary. We generally find it's Boy, it can be 50, it could be 100 million, but we've had clients that have been much larger than that, and their CFOs are just not skilled in the area that the company needs them to be skilled in, and we can provide mentoring in that particular area. Jerry, you've got a lot of experience in this area. Do you feel differently about that?
Maybe just one thing that I would add. As Scott mentioned, every company needs the services of a bookkeeper, a controller, and a CFO. So if you're a brand new startup company, you want to outsource all three. And the idea here is to give you a best-in-class solution at the best possible price. And so you want to get the right mix between in-house and outsourcing. So, brand new startup company, you outsource all three. As you begin to grow and have more day-to-day transactions, you want to hire it internally, beginning at the lowest level first. So your first hire would be an internal bookkeeper, maybe multiple bookkeepers. And then down the road, you eventually bring on a full-time controller. And then way down the road, you bring on a full-time CFO. And that's going to give you a best-in-class service at the best possible price if you get the mix between in-house and outsourcing right.
How does the communication process work in terms of if I'm a fractional CFO, I'm likely going to be located in a different city than the company. I'm not going to be working in the office. How does that communication flow? And are there ever any issues with frequency of communication or timeliness of communication since I'm not in the office next door to each other?
Welcome to the CEO Coaching International podcast. What we do on this show is we find the world's leading entrepreneurs and CEOs, and we spend about a half hour with them and really dig into their story. We want to understand the strategies and the tips and the tools that they use to make big happen in their business. And by the end of each episode, you'll have actionable ideas that you can implement on your path to big success. To learn more about CEO Coaching International and how we can help you dramatically grow your business, visit us at CEOcoachingInternational.com.
Well, I think with technology these days, like I say, I've been doing this for 23 years, and I live about 60 miles outside of Salt Lake City. And when I first started doing the fractional CFO thing, I realized I'm going to be on the road all the time, driving up for board meetings, and every time there's a meeting or a need, I've got to drive to Salt Lake, and I'm going to be on the road in traffic. And I fell into the virtual world, not realizing what I was doing, and found that you can provide this service virtually and do a really, really good job with it. And in many cases, an even better job. And so I would get started with a client, and maybe one of their specific goals was, We want to put together a 5-year forecast so we can become more forward facing. And they would say, well, okay, should we schedule a time to meet? And I would say, well, yeah, we could do that, but maybe in an effort to be more efficient with your time, let's just spend 45 minutes on the phone. Let me learn some things about your business. I'll put together a straw man on the forecast, and then we can be more efficient with your time. Well, I would get to work on it, and I'd build out a forecast, and then I would have a question. I would do a Zoom meeting with them. And before we knew it, the forecast was already built, and we had a working relationship to where anytime they needed something, they would Zoom me. And we'd get to a point where we'd say, wow, we haven't even met in person. We need to get together and go to lunch. But we found that the working relationship worked really well, and via Zoom or with phone calls. In fact, they can call me anytime they need access to me. It's just like having a full-time CFO that's always available. They just don't need me full-time.
I would add also, I've had business partners that were literally physically in the office next door to me. And each of us had assistants that sat on the desk outside those doors. And I would get up and go looking for my business partner, and I'd be told he just went down to accounting, or he went over to the warehouse, or I saw him in the break room. And I'd wander around the building. And in that trip around the building, I'd get interrupted 6 times. I'd make it back to my office 2 hours later, never having found my business partner, only to realize he was out looking for me. Jerry lives about an hour south of me. We converse more via Zoom than with any other business partner I've had, because literally it's always open on the desktop, and he just pings. He can see if I'm in a Zoom call, and literally it's click to open. We converse, we do our business, and go back to what we were doing before. It really comes down to the discipline of the individuals. If they want to communicate, if they set aside time for that, which we encourage our CFOs to do, always have a minimum of a block time every week, they'll communicate. Distance should not be an obstacle. Technology overcomes that.
Have you ever had an experience where the CEO or whoever the hiring person was at the firm hired you guys for the wrong reason? And I think what I'm getting at there is, what is your level of accountability here? So you're an outsourced fractional CFO. They're hiring you to perform a service. Has there ever been like miscommunication between what the CEO hiring you expected of you and what you're able to deliver and what you're held accountable for or not held accountable for? Are you guys just providing guidance and advising and insight? Or tell me a little bit about the accountability factor of a fractional CFO.
Yeah, I can think of a specific experience where a CEO coach said, hey, you need to hire these guys. These guys are amazing. They'll help you with your business, help you get to where you want to go here. And they just hired us, and they didn't really know why they were engaging us. And we got going with them. We started providing a lot of the deliverables, that some of the core deliverables, like a 5-year forecast and getting accrual-based financials and budgeting, budget to actual reporting, cash projections, so that we could have strategic conversations. And they just weren't happy with us. And I said, well, what's going on? We're providing these things that we said we would. What's the issue? And he said, well, I don't care about those things. You don't care about forecasting and becoming forward looking. He said, no, I don't care about that. I just want my cash accounting. I just want to work with my bookkeeper and do it the way we've been doing it for the last 25 years. And I said, great. We don't want to get in the way of that, of course. And you probably don't have a need for us. And so they just didn't have that forward looking idea, and just really didn't want to become forward-facing, forward-looking. And so there was a major miscommunication there. And we had to say, let's part ways, and maybe we can reconnect in the future when that's more important to you. But if you don't want to have a forward-looking approach, if that's not how you want to run your business, we're probably just not a good fit. Because that's really what a CFO should be doing, is helping you become more forward-looking, forward-facing.
And along those lines, what are some questions that the CEO should be asking someone like you, an outsource CFO? And on the other end, what are the kinds of questions that you're asking your potential new client to make sure that there is a good fit and that you avoid the situation you just described there?
It's important to understand, is the CEO really looking for a CFO? Or do they really want a controller with a CFO title? And so I want to make sure that we're clear on that. Do you want this person you hire to help save you to success, or to help you make the right investments to build a successful company? And if they just want us to help save them to success, We can do that, but a controller is really good at telling you no and can help you move in that direction to save to success. But you need a CFO, a real CFO, that will help you make the right investments and figure out, okay, where should I say yes? Where should I invest to really build this company? And that's why we love working with companies that work with CEO Coaching International, because those are companies that want to grow. They know they're not going to save their way to success. They're going to invest in a coach to help them achieve their goals. And they also want to invest in a CFO to help them get there as well.
We have found that CEOs, they tend to be with bigger companies that have had a true CFO in the past, cannot imagine trying to make decisions or provide leadership to that company without the CFO at their side. The challenge we run into is those CEOs that have never really experienced what a true CFO brings to the table. Therefore, they don't know what to ask. And that's the great obstacle that sometimes has to be overcome in the beginning. As I've met with clients in the first part of their engagement, a quarter or two into their engagement, the most common statement when I ask, what can we do better? The most common statement that we've heard is, I would like my CFO, the one we assigned to them, fractional, to be more assertive. Sometimes that word is a little bit different, but they're asking for the same things. We come into an engagement, the client's always right, so there's a tremendous level of respect for our CFOs to the CEO client. And sometimes that causes them to maybe be a little less assertive in the beginning. And we encourage them, just believe that the CEO doesn't know what to ask you for. You have to help educate. And then together you can prioritize what is important and work on that first.
Tell me a little bit more about some of the value that you provide as a fractional CFO that a typical CEO who's not had a whole lot of experience in this area may not realize. I understand you can do the technical piece, you can do the advice and guidance, but give me some examples of real things that you've done for clients that maybe they had no idea that, oh, I didn't realize you guys could do that. This is amazing. All right, do you have some examples like that?
Yeah, so I like to break it into to maybe three parts. The first is the historical, and we refer to that typically as turning on the taillights. We have to have the history in good shape. We need a good accrual-based financials that tell us where we've been. Just like driving a car, it's important to have the taillights on. You need to see where you've been, and it's important. But the next step that's even more important is turning on the headlights. How do we become more forward-looking, forward-facing? We want to turn those headlights on to see the road ahead so that we can see obstacles before they hit the road. And if we can help companies become more forward-facing, forward-looking, they're going to make better decisions. And we do that with forecasting and planning and long-term plans, short-term plans. We want to have those plans in place. And then probably the third part is, how are we going to finance it? Do we need to raise some money to get to where we want to go? What's the goal? What's the plan? And then what kind of financing is it going to take? And so we can help them get the debt and/or equity financing to get there. There's lots of things that we have to be concerned with. The first is the historical piece, but we don't want to stop there. And that's where a lot of folks stop. And that's more of a controller mindset. We want to go on to those next two steps. How do we become forward-facing? How are we going to grow the business? And then how are we going to finance the business?
So let's talk about a real world example here. Let's talk about tariffs for a moment, okay? Because that's something that's affected a lot of companies. In your role as an outsourced CFO, would you get involved in situations about trying to understand your particular client's company's tariff situation, giving them some context around that, helping them figure out do we need to source new locations based on what's happening with tariffs, or do you even get into that kind of discussion using that as an example?
Absolutely. And that's the strategic part, right? Anytime there's a question, most of the time we're going back to our 5-year forecast. How does it fit into our 5-year forecast? And if there's a change in tariffs, we've got to take that into account in our business. How are we going to take that into account? Do we need to source from a different country? What steps do we need to take? Do we need to increase our prices? What communication needs to take place with our clients? And yes, we're absolutely getting involved with that. We're not just having a board discussion or a management discussion. We're going to go to that 5-year forecast and say, how does it impact our business and our 12-month rolling forecast and our 3-month cash projection? How does that impact us at all three of those levels? What adjustments do we need to make? And sometimes we don't know whether the tariffs are going to stick or what's going to happen. They might change from one week to the next, but we've got to be putting those in our plans and thinking about them. How do we help this company be successful regardless of what the administration does that's currently in?
Steve, it's been a turbulent last 12 months, and so many of them are for so many different reasons. But related to this, the tariffs, I was in Canada the week after the tariffs were announced. Talk about angst on the north side of the border. I was there for a business conference, and I knew a company. I'd spoken with the CEO and her team, her third company, very successful tech business. They build their product in Canada. 98% of their business is sold to U.S. companies. So they were near 98% impacted by these tariffs. And so while I was there, after I finished the business conference in the morning, I asked if I could come over and visit with the CEO. So I did. And I said, what are you going to do about these tariffs? And she said, we have been pondering an OEM manufacturer in the States for a number of years. I think this is our push to make that move. We have airline tickets. We're flying there on Monday. And this was like a Wednesday or a Thursday. I said, would you mind if I check with you when you get back and see what you decided to do? Because I knew what the outcome was going to be. Move your manufacturing to an OEM manufacturer that you've already had enough conversation with, should have a confidence level. I've done some research. It wasn't a new idea. Just make the move now. The tariffs are going to force that decision. So I called her up about 2 weeks later, and I knew what the answer was. They were moving everything to the States. And I said, what did you decide to do? And she says, we went down there and we gathered all the information. We met with them and we came back and met with our management team and we looked at our forecast models. There was not a scenario that we could envision with tariffs not changing, tariffs going away, tariffs reducing. There was not a scenario we could envision where we would be benefited by moving our production to an OEM manufacturer. Mm-hmm. That realization having come so quickly, they went back. This is in less than 2 weeks. We went back to our major customers and we said, I'll tell you what, this is something we don't control. We're good partners. Why don't you take half the tariff and we'll take half the tariff? We'll both suffer through this. And they all agreed. And it was such a application of what Jerry talks about all the time. Real world, having those tools already curated, perfected to as much as a forecast can be and in place that they use to make major decisions and do so quickly, efficiently, ahead of their competition and be able to move forward and be productive.
Well, along those lines, I was reading something from Mark Carney, who is the Prime Minister of Canada. And his quote was, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Okay. We don't need to go into the context at which he said that, but it reminds me of a question I think is really appropriate here, which is, do you guys as a fractional CFO, do you have a seat at the leadership table? Meaning one of the things that CEO coaching talks about all the time is the importance of your planning process. So you have an annual planning meeting, you have a quarterly review meeting, you have monthly meetings, you have a whole cadence of meetings. So as a fractional CFO, do you have a seat at that table? Like when they have the annual meeting, are you guys there? When they have a quarterly review meeting, are you guys there? Or what is your role in that cadence of meetings?
Yeah, and that can vary a lot. It depends on what the client wants, but we want our CFOs to be part of that leadership team. You can't have a real CFO without having them be part of the leadership team. And you can find the right balance of which meetings they attend or don't attend. Frequently, CEO coaching will have an annual and a quarterly planning meeting. And our CFOs frequently go to those meetings. They go to the annual meetings and they're going to the quarterly meetings too as needed, because we need to be part of that leadership team and be part of those decisions that need to be made. They're so important for moving the business forward.
Yeah, great advice we give to our CEO clients when they come on is treat your CFO as if they were your full-time hired, made this commitment CFO in the office next door, because that's the role they have to fill. And if you can embrace that relationship and make them yours, you'll have a better chance to get the outcome you need. The communication will be there. The expectations will be right.
In fact, that's an area where we run into trouble if the CFO does not become part of the leadership team. They may not connect. And that's where maybe fractional gets a bad rap. Fractional is no excuse for not connecting with the leadership team and being a business partner with the CEO. Fractional just means they don't need you for 40 to 50 hours a week. They only need you for 5 or 10 hours a week, but they need you when they need you. And you need to be a part of the key meetings and decisions that need to be processed.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because earlier you talked about an example of an engagement that didn't quite work out because the firm hiring you didn't really ask many questions and there was a bit of a disconnect. Here you just gave an example where a firm, if they don't have you at the leadership table, then that's a problem too. Are there any other warning signs or advice that you would give to potential companies that are thinking about a fractional CFO that say, hey, if you're going to hire a fractional CFO, make sure you understand A, B, and C, or you ask question A, B, and C to make sure that this is going to be a successful engagement, not only for the hiring company, but also for you guys as the fractional CFO?
Yeah, and I think I talked a little bit about this before, but I think you want to make sure, are you really wanting a controller or are you wanting a CFO? And sometimes the CEO wants a true CFO, but what they got was a controller, and then they're frustrated because of that. And so we need to make sure we're on the same page with what they really want. Sometimes we get caught up in the names, titles, bookkeeper, controller, CFO, and we don't understand the difference, or CPA. So it's really important to understand what is the difference and what does the CEO really want. Make sure that we're on the same page there. And we typically want to work with companies that want to be forward-looking. They want a real CFO. And part of that is we need to work with CEOs that really want to change. We want to work with the CEOs that really want to make the changes in their business to be successful. If they want to just keep doing what they've been doing or want a yes man, then they probably don't want a real CFO, because the real CFO is going to tell you, they're going to agree with you when it makes sense, and they're going to challenge you when they need to challenge you. And we want to make sure you really want someone that's going to challenge you to help you improve your business.
Steve, your reputation is impeccable as a business leader and a thought leader and a communicator. If you took a poll of your listeners, what percentage of those CEOs know what the exit from their business looks like? What do you think that percentage would be?
Less than 50%.
Yeah, it is alarming asking a room full of business leaders that question, what does your exit look like, and having 20, sometimes 25%, 30% is outstanding good. That is such an alarming number. And that's one of the first things we generally try and help them start thinking about in these initial interviews, about whether we can help them, whether we're willing to take them on, is we want to know, what are you trying to achieve? What does the future look like? And maybe that's, what do you want to be prepared for? Because unfortunately, sometimes those exits are forced upon us by circumstances we can't control. Often it's health diagnosis, it's accidents, it's things that happen. So that's just a matter of being prepared for that. But we want them to start thinking about what that goal is out on the horizon, what the North Star is. And we talk about where they are today, and then we connect those two points. So what's it going to take to get from where you are today to what your North Star is? Who do you have? What we're concerned about, the finance and accounting team, who do you have on the team that's capable of helping you make that journey? And what are the tools or the leadership that are going to help you take advantage of opportunities and overcome obstacles? Because you're going to encounter both of those. I was listening to an airline pilot speak the other day, and he was talking about just the journey across the United States. He says, we're making adjustments every single minute, because our instruments are never 100% correct. They're affected by a lot of factors. There's storms and there's winds and there's traffic. And every single minute we have to course correct. Otherwise, we won't reach our destination efficiently. And I think it applies to business. You have to be able to monitor what's going right and what's going wrong and do so on a regular basis. Certainly monthly is an ideal time to do that and make those course corrections. You have to have tools to be able to show you what those are and what the right corrections are. But that's how you get from where they are now to where they define their North Star to be.
Well, guys, as we get ready to wrap up here, is there a final thought, comment, or observation that you'd like to share here? And Scott, let's start with you.
Having had the opportunity to be able to speak to business groups now for about 3 years, and then I run into some of those CEOs or leaders a short time later, 6 months or a year, I hear what resonated. And what has been resonating over the last couple of years are the question CEOs are asking, is my CFO really a CFO, or does that mean they're a controller? And that's one of the how do you define, how do you know whether your CFO, air quotes, is a controller or CFO? There's a bunch of different ways to do that. Jerry's so good at being able to identify that pretty quickly. But one of those is a CF no. If a CEO goes to their CFO and says, hey, I've got this idea, and the response is, and I've heard much more harsh responses than this. I say, you got a culture problem, but it's Bosh, that's a fair idea, or that's a dumb idea. We didn't put that in the budget for this year. So I'll tell you what, we're going to redo the budget in about 6 months. Why don't we revisit that idea then, see if we put it in the budget? But until then, there's nothing in the budget to even research this idea. So that's a CF no. And sometimes, regardless of their title, they take that posture because they can't provide the forward look. So they have to defend the only thing they can do. Because the right approach to that, if you have a true CFO that's integrated into the business, is boss, that's a very interesting idea. I'll tell you what, give me a couple of days. If we could set a time to meet this next week, let me come back to you and I'll tell you what I think it would cost to implement that in resources and money, what the expected outcomes would be, perhaps expected best case and worst case, and then we can decide whether or not we want to find some way to make that happen. That is the right approach of a CFO supporting a CEO in both thought leadership and what if, because so many controllers or CFO titled controllers, their discussion is what is today or what was, and a CFO should be able to answer the what if. What if we did that? What would the outcome be?
Jerry, what are your thoughts here? What's a final closing comment?
Well, if I could maybe share personal experience for just a minute. I have always had crooked teeth my entire life, and I've wanted to get braces. And in my early years, I just couldn't afford it. Grew up in a situation where that would be a much of a luxury and wouldn't be possible. And I've always wanted to have straight teeth, but I just kept putting it off. And there came a point in time where I could afford it, but then it was weird to have braces. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to make the change, and I just thought, wow, that's a year and a half to 2 years, and I finally decided I'm going to do it. The 2 years is going to pass whether I do it or not. As you can see, I have braces. I'm 56 years old and have braces, and it's a little bit awkward, but I'm finally going to have straight teeth, and I've wanted to do this for many, many years. And I've thought about that, and I think a lot of business owners, the question I would ask you is there something in your business that you know you should do or you want to do, and you've wanted to do it for years and you keep putting it off because it's uncomfortable, it's difficult, you don't have the resources to do it, whatever the excuses are. There's lots of them. I could give you lots of excuses why I didn't want to get braces. But now's the time to do it. Make the investment. Figure out what investments you need to make to move your business forward. And I wouldn't delay it. Because if you delay it, you're going to be in the same place you are now 2 years from now. If you make the right investments now, you're going to be in a much better place. So take a more forward-looking approach. Figure out how to turn those headlights on and move your business forward.
I appreciate you sharing that story, Jerry. And companies that make excuses are not the people that we have on the podcast here. So
Yeah.
they just don't get there. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, that's one of the indicators we know when we've really connected. And it's when the CEO responds to our satisfaction calls and says, I get it now. I should have done this 2 years ago. And I don't know why that 2 year reference time frame is so common, but it is such a common statement. I get it now. I should have done this 2 years ago. I did have one CEO that said, I should have done this 5 years ago. I said, Doug, why five? And he said, because I've been thinking about it for 5 years. I just haven't pulled the trigger. But that's when you know that it has connected. The CFO and the CEO are now sharing valuable information and insights because I should have done it 2 years ago.
All right. Well, what's the best way for folks to connect with you guys if they want to learn more about Preferred CFO?
We're always happy to talk to CEOs and entrepreneurs, and even if we can provide some sort of free advice to help you get going in the right direction, we're happy to do that. And you can reach us at our website, preferredcfo.com. You can reach myself at jerry@preferredcfo.com. Happy to answer an email and see if we can provide some assistance to you. We love our relationship with CEO Coaching International. We try to be helpful. If you have a coach that you're working with, we'd love to give you a free consultation if it's helpful from a financial perspective.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Now, I have a question for you. How are you going to implement and benefit from the ideas that you hear on our show? Well, we would love to have a conversation with you about that. So please visit us at ceocoachinginternational.com. We can then set up a call and we can talk about how we can help you make big happen in your business. Thanks, and we look forward to sharing our next episode with you.